Open your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 23. We'll start there in just a moment. You know, I've heard it said before, you get up here to speak and you prepare a lesson and you say, this is something that I prepared that I need. And this lesson is a lesson that I think I need, and hopefully it'll be beneficial to everybody. I've got an article I'd like to read. It says, attitude is everything. Jerry was the kind of guy that was always in a good mood and always had something positive to say. When someone would ask him how he was doing, he would reply, if I were any better, I would be twins. He was a unique manager because he had several waiters who had followed him around from restaurant to restaurant. The reason the waiters followed Jerry was because of his attitude. He was a natural motivator. If an employee was having a bad day, Jerry was there telling the employee how to look on the positive side of the situation. Seeing this style really made me curious, so one day I went to Jerry and asked him, I don't get it. You can't be a positive person all the time. How do you do it? Jerry replied, each morning I wake up and say to myself, Jerry, you have two choices today. You can choose to be in a good mood, or you can choose to be in a bad mood. I choose to be in a good mood. Each time something bad happens, I can choose to be a victim, or I can choose to learn from it. I choose to learn from it. Every time someone comes to me complaining, I can choose to accept their complaining, or I can point out the positive side of life. I choose the positive side of life. Yeah, right, it's not that easy, I protested. Yes, it is, Jerry said. Life is all about choices. When you cut away all the junk, every situation is a choice. You choose how you react to situations. You choose how people will affect your mood. You choose to be in a good mood or a bad mood. The bottom line, it's your choice how you live your life. I reflected on what Jerry said, and soon thereafter I left the restaurant industry to start my own business. Lost touch, but often thought about him when I made a choice about life instead of reacting to it. Several years later, I heard that Jerry did something you are never supposed to do in a restaurant business. He left the back door open one morning and was held up at gunpoint by three armed robbers. While trying to open the safe, his hand shaking from nervousness slipped off the combination. The robbers panicked and shot him. Luckily, Jerry was found relatively quickly and rushed to the local trauma center. After 18 hours of surgery and weeks of intensive care, Jerry was released from the hospital with fragments of the bullets still in his body. I saw Jerry about 6 months after the accident. When I asked him how he was, he replied, if I were any better, I'd be twins. Want to see my scars? I declined to see his wounds, but I did ask him what had gone through his mind as the robbery took place. The first thing that went through my mind was that I should have locked the back door, Jerry replied. Then, as I lay on the floor, I remembered that I had two choices. I could choose to live, or I could choose to die, and I chose to live. Weren't you scared? Did you lose consciousness? I asked. Jerry continued, the paramedics were great. They kept telling me I was going to be fine, but when they wheeled me into the emergency room and I saw the expressions on the faces of the doctors and the nurses, I got really scared. In their eyes I read, he's a dead man. I knew I needed to take action. What did you do? I asked. Well, there was a big burly nurse shouting questions at me, said Jerry. She asked if I was allergic to anything. Yes, I replied. The doctors and the nurses stopped working as they waited for my reply. I took a deep breath and yelled, bullets. Over the laughter, I told them, I'm choosing to live. Operate on me as if I'm alive, not dead. Jerry lived thanks to the skill of his doctors, but he also because of his amazing attitude. I learned from him that every day we have the choice to live fully. Attitude, after all, is everything. Tonight, I'd like for us to look at positive living. I've got a couple of quotes I'd like to read. Dennis Brown said, the only difference between a good day and a bad day is in your attitude. Norman Vincent Peale said, change your thoughts and you change your world. You know, we are the products of our worlds. Proverbs 23:7 says, for as he thinks in his heart, so is he. Eat and drink, he says to you, but his heart is not with you. But although we're the products of our worlds, we can also be the prisoners of our worlds. We can set the boundaries of our possibilities. And we imprison ourselves sometimes with negative attitudes. And then we don't choose to be free from those thoughts. And we get imprisoned by those attitudes. And we won't be able to live a positive life. So some questions I'd like to ask ourselves tonight is, how is my living? Do I choose to be in a good mood or in a bad mood? When something bad happens, do I choose to become a victim? Or do I choose to learn from it? Do I choose to complain about things, be negative? Or do I choose the positive side of life? Being happy is a mindset. The question I have for us is, this as happy as I plan to be? Or can I truly be happier? So what then can I do to improve my outlook on life? Philippians 4:11 says, not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. So we need to be content. A quote from Fred Smith, he said, you are the way you are because that's the way you want to be. If you really wanted to be any different, you would be in the process of changing right now. Let's look at what positive living is, first of all. Well, positive living, obviously, is the alternative to negative living. But positive living, as a Christian, comes from biblical thinking. God's Word. And that's God's will for us. He wants us to use His Bible, His Word, to make our lives much more productive and much more positive. Colossians 2:10 says, be fruitful in every good work and increase in the knowledge of God. So let's look at what negativity is. Negative living comes from our thoughts, which produce negative thinking. And obviously that's what Satan wants for us. He wants us to have negative thoughts. Romans 8:7 says, because the carnal mind is enmity against God. So let's look at what positive living is not. Well, I think that positive living is not just positive thinking. I think that you can think positive and not necessarily do anything. It's not freedom from problems. Job 14:1 says, man who is born of woman is a few days and full of trouble. It's not some financial reward. You know, one day when I get to this point, then I'm going to be happy, I'm going to be positive, I'm going to be a changed person. It's not some financial reward. And it's not blind optimism. Putting your head in the sand. Just sort of tricking yourself into being positive. You're not really positive. And it's not ignoring the challenges of life. Sitting back and saying, well, I'm just going to sit back here and things that happen, I'm just going to let them go on by, and then that way everything will be okay. So what's the key then to producing positive living? Well, knowing the truth. John 8:32 says, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. So knowing the truth and making a decision to put Christ and His will first in your life is what positive living is all about. We have to make a decision to make your mind up. That's what that is, making a decision, make one's mind up. We know about Joshua and Daniel. Turn to Joshua chapter 24, verse 15. 24:15 says that if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve. Whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." And also, in Daniel chapter 1, verse 8, it says, "Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's delicacies, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the chief of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself." Two examples here of some men that chose what they were going to do before it happened. They chose that they were going to make their minds up and do what God wanted them to do. So let's look at some basic facts, some things that lead us to positive living. Well, I think positive living comes from positive programming. Our mind is the soil that we plant the seed in. Luke 8:11 says, "Now the parable is this: the seed is the word of God." So we need to be sowing positive seed to reap a positive life. You can't change your thoughts without changing your life in the process, either for good or for bad. Immerse yourself in the right thoughts and you will become the person you long to be, just as surely as planting of an acorn yields an oak tree and not a pine tree. So when you think about our mind, we need to... A mind is something that we plant that seed in. That seed grows, and as we nurture it, as we study God's Word, then we become more programmed into God's Word. We need to meditate on God's Word. We need to put those godly thoughts into our minds. Psalm 119:97 says, "Oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day." And Philippians 4:7-9 says, "And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. The things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you." Positive living comes then also from right thinking about ourselves. We are what we think, as they say. We must think right to live right. We read in Proverbs 23, "For as he thinks in his heart, so is he." Some other areas we need to think right about. About God. He influences or should influence our whole life. Acts 17:29 says, "Therefore, since we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the divine nature is like gold or silver or stone, something shaped by art and man's devising." God should influence our lives. He would influence our lives by the study of His Word and by putting Him first in our lives. And about our self-worth, about ourselves. Genesis 1 verses 26 and 7 tells us that we are created in the image of God. And God said, "Let us make man in our own image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. And about lost souls. John 3:16 tells us, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." And Luke 19:10 tells us that, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and save that which was lost." So we need to be seeking souls and seeking the lost and thinking about that. And about concern for our fellow brethren, turn to 2 Corinthians. Chapter 11. Start in verse 20-23. "Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more. In labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequently, in deaths often. From the Jews 5 times I received 40 stripes minus 1. Three times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Three times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I have been in the deep. In journeys often, in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen, in perils of the Gentiles, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and toil, in sleeplessness often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness, besides the other things what comes upon me daily, my deep concern for all the churches. Paul, with all the many things that he had gone through, was with all the things he had dealt with, all the things that he had been through, and his deep concern was for all the churches. I think we need to have a concern for each other and a love for each other and be thinking and praying about each other. And then we need to be thinking about salvation. Acts 4:11-13 says, "This is the stone which was rejected by you, by the builders, which has become the chief cornerstone. Nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved." Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated and untrained men, they marveled and they realized that they had been with Jesus. So we have to be thinking about that our salvation comes through Christ, and there is no other way except through Him. And then our positive living should come from right doing. I said earlier, positive living or positive thinking is not the same as positive doing. And positive living is one step that's beyond positive thinking. Positive living takes positive doing. James 1:22 says, "But be doers of the word, and not only hearers, deceiving yourselves." You need to be seeking the lost. Matthew 28 says, "Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." And right doing also relates to our position as servants. We need to have the attitude of Christ, becoming as a servant. Turn to Philippians chapter 2. Let's look at verses 5 through 7. It says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a servant and coming in the likeness of men." So we need to put others first. Paul instructs the Philippians not to dwell on themselves so much. He says, "Let each of you look out not only for his own interest, but also for the interest of others." And that's found in Philippians chapter 2, 4. We are known by our fruits. Matthew chapter 3. Verse 8 says, "Therefore, bear fruits worthy of repentance." And then in John chapter 15, starting in verse 1, it says, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You're already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me, and I in him, bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing." So we are known by our fruits. Without Christ, we can do nothing. And then positive living comes from positive prayer. Turn to 1 Timothy chapter 2. Verses 1 through 5. "Therefore I exhort first of all that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and all who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. So we need to be praying for those that are in authority and praying for a quiet and peaceable life. We need to pray without ceasing. Turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Verse 17, 5:17, says, pray without ceasing. Then we need to pray with the right attitude, Matthew chapter 6. Verses 5 and 6. It says, and when you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the streets, that they may be seen by men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But you, when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father, who is in a secret place, and your Father, who sees in secret, will reward you openly. So we need to have the right attitude when we pray, not to be seen of others. Then we need to pray in faith. Turn to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews 11:6. But without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God must believe that He is, and He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. And turn to James chapter 1. Verses 2 through 6. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith, with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. And then positive living comes from positive renewal. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2 says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And we should be devoted to the worship and to the service of God. We don't need to be conformed, but transform. Put off the old man, put on the new man. And you think of the butterfly, and we've all heard of this before, but when you think about a caterpillar, and then the caterpillar turns into a butterfly, and that's a transformation, going from one creature to another, complete difference. And that's what we need to be like. We need to be transformed from this world. Whiteside, in the commentary on Romans, said, study the Bible, make God's thoughts and ideals our thoughts and ideals, and the transformation naturally follows. 2 Corinthians 4:16 says, therefore we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. We must seek and set. Colossians 3, verses 1 and 2 says, if then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God, and set your mind on the things above, not on the things on earth. So we need to be dedicated, we need to be persistent and focused, we need to be determined to be set on spiritual thoughts and not on earthly thoughts. And then positive living comes from positive affirmations. We need to meditate on positive things. The more I fill my mind with whatever is true and noble and excellent and praiseworthy, the less room there will be for negative thoughts. We need to remember the abundant gifts from God. He forgives us, He heals us, and surrounds us with loving kindness, and redeems us from destruction. So let's turn over to Psalm 103. Verses 1 through 5. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits, who forgives all your iniquities, heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, satisfies your mouth with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. And nothing can separate us from God's love. Romans chapter 8, verse 38. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. We need to remember that we can forget the past and reach forward. Paul talked about this in Philippians. Turn to the book of Philippians. Chapter 3, verse 13. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. We need to remember that heaven will be worth it all. Romans 8, 18. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Then we need to remember that we have to put our trust in God. His word is powerful. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 11. Let us therefore be diligent to enter that rest, lest anyone fall after the same example of disobedience. For the word of God is living and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of the soul and spirit, and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your path. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It will be health to your flesh, strength to your bones. We need to make it our goal then to be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. 1 Corinthians 15. Verse 58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the word of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. So in conclusion, every person chooses what he or she thinks. We choose our actions because we have chosen our thoughts. Questions asked at the beginning. How much joy is in my living? Am I a negative person or a positive person? Do I set my mind on things above? Am I programming my mind with biblical thoughts? Do I choose each day to have a positive outlook? Do I pray for myself and others about these things? The key to true biblical happiness lies in knowing God's Word and making the decision to put Christ and His will first in our lives. John 8:32, "And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." And I said at the beginning, this is something that is good for me to have studied. I know with the world that we live in now, we are hit with so many negative things, and it's we can get caught in that rut of being negative. Hopefully this was helpful to everyone. It was helpful to me. If there's someone here tonight that hasn't made that decision to obey Christ, now is the time for you to do that. If you need to come forward for any other reason, I want you to do so while we stand and sing.